or you love Instagram or you love Twitter, LinkedIn is my jam. I love LinkedIn. Yes. So if you would like to connect with me, it's just Samantha C. Russell is my handle. And I every day get requests from people and they'll say, can you take a look at this landing page? What's one thing you would change? Or, hey, look at this video I did. Like, does the meta description look good? And honestly, it's helpful to all of you to ask me those questions, but it's also helpful for me because I continue to learn as I go through it. So feel free to reach out and connect, certainly. And I would love to connect with everyone on the call today.
And Samantha really is one of those people who is like kind of altruistic in the sense that like you see her on LinkedIn and she makes videos about questions that people have. So it's like, if you ask her a question, she's probably going to make a video about it if enough people ask her that. I mean, I do that too, to some extent, but you see what I'm saying? Like, she is one of those people that does really give back to the people that she wants to serve. So just some little boring disclaimers here. You know, financial advisors, we all have to love our disclaimers here. So no stranger probably to disclaimers, but this is being recorded. I plan to post this on my podcast and my YouTube channel. So if you don't want to be part of a recorded webinar, then, you know, adios, arrivederci. But we can still be friends. I won't hold it against you. And I'd love for you to just contact me with any questions. And then more boring disclaimers, no guarantee that the information presented is accurate. I would like to think it is, but I can't guarantee it. No guarantees we'll update this. And this is not from marketing or practice management advice, for some advice on that consultant professional. And okay, before I start any questions, like I'm saying, I'm really encouraging all of you to enter in your questions to the chat box. I would love it. So my impetus for being here today is that, and by the way, in case you decide this stinks and you want to leave early, hey, I won't be offended, but just visit my website and check out my membership right here at the top, the blue button. I'm guiding people through LinkedIn and YouTube. It's $35 a month. There's a sign-up fee, but it's not too much. You all can afford it. I mean, I think it's probably like, if I were a financial advisor, I would do this for $35 a month, and it's something that is not going to kill you price-wise. And I wish, like, when I was an advisor, someone had offered me this for the cost of, like, not even going out to dinner.
Yeah.
So check it out, y'all. So listen, so why YouTube? Okay. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is an amazing opportunity. I think YouTube, in my opinion, is the place that you can get the best results the fastest for the lowest price. Now, that's a loaded statement. Let me explain a little bit about what I mean. Understand that YouTube is a Google product. So all of the targeting, right, that Google is doing, all the data that they're gathering, okay, you want to be ranking in the Google search engines, YouTube is, make a YouTube video, make YouTube videos, and optimize them with keywords. YouTube is growing like crazy. The reason that you want to talk about YouTube is that you get suggested. So for example, I go to a video about how to open the McLaren baby stroller. Cause by the way, I can never figure out this thing. It's like, I can't work the remote control in my house, like for the television. I don't even have a television anymore. I have too many kids. Right. But it's like, when I go to the McLaren carriage video, stroller video, YouTube suggests other videos about other strollers or other stroller products. And so it's like, if you're not necessarily McLaren, but if you're like it's Baby Jogger or whatever other baby company, right? You can make money off McLaren getting my Sarah Grillo's attention. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying here is there's an auto suggest feature where YouTube, if your video is good enough, if you optimize it with the keywords and there's a good enough watch time, YouTube and it just very much like Google goes by who does the best and with the audience. They are audience focused, right? So if your video is good enough, for free, you can get your video suggested to other people that are watching your competition's videos, y'all. I mean, it's like, I don't know how else to say it. This is a gift, financial advisors, okay? I'm gonna show you some examples. Samantha knows them as well, but there's really not that many financial advisors that are on there right now. Now I'm going to you say, oh, that's because the baby boomers don't watch YouTube. Okay. I'm going to show you people that are targeting baby boomers. Like, I'm going to show you the physical evidence. I am not making this up. I also had a guy on my podcast that's doing this really effectively. If you go to my website, you can see it. SarahGrillo.com. Boom. Go there, check out my podcast. I mean, there's evidence of a guy who's actually getting leads from YouTube. I'm telling all of you 49 people here, right? I myself. Yeah,
Sarah, I just wanted to say, I put into the chat too for everybody. Sorry, it's a really long link, but this actually just was released yesterday, so it was really timely. But Google released their own survey findings on baby boomers and YouTube. So you can click that and find out the amount of time that baby boomers are watching video. And the number one reason that they go to YouTube is when they need to figure something out and they don't want to ask their kids about it. So that was really interesting. You know, whether it's something as simple as how do I log in and look at my most recent statement, or, you know, when I'm preparing for X, you know, what steps do I have to take? The, you know, what the research has shown that Google found is that baby boomers love YouTube because it's just like having their kid or someone else explain something to them in person, but they don't have to call up their kid and bother them for the time.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a really great, I mean, definitely that is a misconception. It is used by everyone across the board.
Although, yeah, I mean, if you do watch the usage statistics, I mean, not to get into too much here on this, I mean, we're going to get in the good stuff in a minute, but there are less boomers watching than millennials. Statistically, like the numbers do decrease. Sure. I'm not going to say there's, you know, one for one boomer to millennial ratio on YouTube, but they're still watching and there's enough of them there that you can make a very nice business out of it. And also because advisors are put off by this, they are averse to YouTube. They don't believe in it. That's probably the number one reason you should do this, because your competition is not going to do it. Okay.
Right.
So the other thing is, for a financial advisor, a big issue is trust. To be able to see, have somebody see you face to face, you know, virtually is a big thing. It's going to give you a lot more personality and differentiate you in an industry where really everybody is very cliched. Websites are pretty much all the same. And then there's a huge cost advantage. I mentioned that advertising on LinkedIn, $4 to $7 a click. I've never gotten lower than that. YouTube, I've never gone higher than 9 cents per click. Okay, let me repeat that. 9 cents per click is what I recently advertised for on YouTube. And it's a big thing too, because a view on LinkedIn or Facebook counts as like 3 seconds. How much of my brand can I get across in 3 seconds? On YouTube, you only get charged if it's 30 seconds, if somebody watches your video for 30 seconds. So think about it. You're getting 10 times the brand recognition for a lower cost. I mean, come on, this is a no-brainer, okay?
So, and I think what you said about the idea of that so many advisors aren't using it is key. Anytime, like you mentioned, Sarah mentioned, that you can find something that no one else is already doing, that's the time to jump in, because you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. So I'll mention SEO strategies no one else is doing and try to get people excited about them, because if you're one of the few people that does them, you're going to see a significant result a lot quicker. And as Sarah mentioned, you know, when you're thinking about content that you can make, it's the same exact kind of questions people are asking you when you're in, they're in your office. Turn those quick questions and answers into your YouTube clips.
Right. Yeah. Don't make it promotional. Don't make it boring. Don't talk about yourself. Don't talk about what is Social Security, whatever. Like, look at this guy right here. I mean, Devin Carroll, amazing. I get to get him on my podcast sometime. This guy's got 177,000 views. Okay. Let me repeat. This guy has 177,000 views on this video about Social Security changes for 2019. Now, he's not making some tutorial about what is Social Security. He's making something current. So, I mean, look at 553 comments on this, y'all. I mean, I doubt these are millennials, right? What's a good cost of living increase if Medicare raises its take? I mean, look at these people are asking. I've seen Social Security. My wife and our 80-year-old man, blah, blah. How can a married disabled couple or live on blah, blah? I mean, look at all this stuff right here. This is ridiculoso, right? Okay, so I'm just going to go and see here these in the questions in the chat box before I go on. Will the recording be available? Yes. The conundrum is how to create engaging content and find a creative editor. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Samantha had a great suggestion. You know, use questions that people are asking you. You also can go to Google Keyword Planner. I mean, I'm going to do a, in my membership, I cover how to use Google Keyword Planner tool. Again, $35 a month, sign up on my website. If you want to know, I mean, I understand creativity and we all want creative content, but at the same time, I think we also have to keep in mind that we want to be relevant to people too. And so Google has all the data about what everybody's searching on. Google knows all our secrets that we ask people that we're embarrassed to tell other people. I would much rather see you target your videos towards popular searches that people are doing on Google and then be creative with it. Like, have a creative setting, have some creative sound effects, whatever. make it creative and engaging. But at the same time, don't get, you know, go off too off on a tangent. Like, you still want to stay focused, right?
And I don't know about you, Sarah, but I have found actually, like, when you're first getting started, don't let perfect be the reason that you don't do it. Like, it's much better to get started, even if you're recording them using, you know, Zoom software, right? You could record on Zoom.
Zoom software is free, y'all.
Yeah, you can. This is what we're using today. So you can record yourself talking, have your video camera showing, show your screen if you want. If you don't want to, you can just record the video. And you don't need to edit it. You know, do a take, talk off, you know, the cuff if you need to. And then put it up there. The videos that I record for our YouTube channel, I use my iPhone, and it's kind of grainy, but it looks more authentic when people are scrolling through their feeds and they see it. It almost looks like a video from a friend. And so they're much more inclined to stop and watch it because it doesn't look like this super professional video.
It doesn't look like an advertisement.
Right, exactly.
Talking. That's what people go to YouTube for.
So personally, I don't think you need to worry so much about editing. Just be real and authentic. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. You can, you know, obviously run through that. But then once you start going, if you pause for a moment and you think about what the next sentence is going to be, that's okay. It just comes across as more realistic and authentic to the audience.
Yeah. So you can come on here as a, you know, you can make these kind of topical videos like this financial advisor is doing. I want to also show you, like, boomers are actually just even watching, like, grandma and Ginga, these people. This is hilarious. These are, like, obviously senior citizens, and they make these, I mean, look at 21,000 views, 31,000 views. Why wouldn't you advertise? Like, if you can get for 9 cents a click your videos onto this video right here, you know, look at right here. See, a commercial came up. Tony Robbins is advertising on this channel, right? Why wouldn't you advertise for 9 cents a click on this video? Obviously, you know, it's like senior citizens humor, humorous senior citizens videos. They've been on Kimmel. They've been on the Jimmy Kimmel show, right? I mean, why not even try that, right? I mean, there's knitting tips by Judy. There's a knitting channel. There's,
Yeah, so the thought is, think about where your audience is already going to go. So, like, if you know that a ton of people in your audience, like you mentioned, are going to be interested in knitting or golf, right? Golf's a great one. Or they're interested in certain kinds of cars, you know, whatever the case may be. You can think about those hyper-specific kind of audience groups.
Fox News, for example.
Okay. Yep.
People watch the news. Like, I have a bunch of, I got a bunch of financial advisors. Like, I just got a financial advisor interested today, actually, by advertising on, like, a financial publication website. I told YouTube, I want you to track all the people that went to this website and then put my videos in front of them the next time they're on YouTube. And then someone contacted me today about a product I sell about that. So yeah, this is a knitting channel, right? You see this little yellow tag right here, this little yellow dot, that means it's time for a commercial. So she allows commercial advertising on her channel. That should be your advertisement right there, right? That's a stereotype. I mean, do all senior citizens like knitting? Do only senior citizens like knitting? I mean, I guess that's kind of a stereotype. Shame on me, but whatever, right? You know, maybe that's an interest. Or like Lexus, like maybe, you know, Lexus website, Tesla website, like why not get your advertisements on there? Retirement Answer Man, this is another great one. Look at him, this one right here. I mean, he's got a more modern way to plan for retirement. He's got 2,000 views on this. Oh my gosh, is that a... And look at this here. I mean, this isn't heavily edited. This isn't like animation and sound effects and everything. This is just the guy outside with a nice setting, right? I mean, it's like, this is cool. I would watch this video because I think it's cool, right? He looks relaxed. I would rather take this over some like bozo, like out there trying to, you know, like pitch products or tell me what an annuity is, right?
Yeah, and I think, too, when you're thinking about your topics and what you want to create, again, one of the things that I've done that helps me every week, because I do record a video every single week, and it can be a lot. You can kind of have weeks where you're like, oh, my gosh, what's my topic going to be this week? But if you keep a running list, all of you have conversations week in and week out with people who ask you a question, and your thought is, oh, that's a good question, or I've been asked this question 10 times in the last year. Make a video about it. And they don't need to all be very, very long either. You know, a lot of times the highest performing videos are not very long. So think about, you know, what's the most popular question and then turn it into a quick, you know, answer. And then you can create playlists in YouTube that are all along the same kind of subject line. So it could even be like a series of video on, you know, one or two topics.
Yeah, let me see if I can show you all my playlists. Or is I'm going to get blackier with this. Oh my gosh. Here. Okay, there. Can y'all see my screen still?
Yes. So.
Okay, cool. My channel, did I just go to the wrong thing? My channel, okay. Video manager, playlist. Yeah, I've got like a million playlists here. Yeah, so I have like online selling for financial advisors, financial practice management, motivational videos for financial advisors. These are my playlists. So my videos are all grouped. You see 14 videos here, 84 videos here, 17 videos here. I want to tell you why the playlist is important. After someone watches this video of mine, they go to the next video. If they're watching a video in my playlist, they automatically go to the next video. They don't have to click anything. YouTube is just going to automatically shuttle them over there. So that's awesome. Like, you should absolutely be cluster creating content. And like, I'm cluster creating online selling for financial advisors. And then when people go and watch one video, if they like you and stay to the end, they'll watch more than that. So yeah, playlists are a great idea.
And don't forget to have some sort of call to action at the end of every video you create. So even if it's something like subscribe to my channel so that you won't miss my next video, or you know, you're talking about something with Social Security and you say, you provide a link and you say, this, you know, is the link you go to get my checklist for Social Security, you know, questions answered. Always have some sort of call to action of what to do next. And then, as Sarah said, always have that playlist. It's like Netflix. For any of you, those of you who watch Netflix, right? The next video is always ready to go in the queue, and you get sucked in and you end up spending way more time than you anticipated.
Yes.
You can do that to people.
Do that to people, everybody. I mean, I did it. It worked for me. Just, okay. So, and by the way, just as we're in the middle of the webinar here, if you haven't checked out my membership yet, just go ahead and visit the website. It's right here. Just click the blue button. Like I said, $35 a month. Can't beat it. How does a financial advisor find new clients, by the way? So this is just a general, okay, so how can I really use this, right? If you think about how financial advisors are finding clients, there's word of mouth and centers of influence, but these are mostly passive. A lot of times with a bad market, people are reluctant to refer you. Centers of influence, right? You know, a lot of times you've got to pay it forward, and CPAs are probably the most coveted. They know that they're coveted, and a lot of times it's going to be hard to get in there. It can take a while. LinkedIn and YouTube are great. They're active ways, and they're on a network, okay? A podcast is also how people find clients, but you've got to push that podcast out there. I just want to make the distinction that with YouTube, this is, I think, out of all of these options, probably the best option in terms of you having automated features built in where your stuff is going to get pushed out for no money. I mean, YouTube will actually do that for you right now because it's a network, okay, where it uses algorithms based upon what people like. It can put your content in front of, because it wants to please the person, right? Google doesn't really care about that much about your podcast, okay? But they do care on YouTube because they want you to put more videos on there so that you can advertise. They want you to advertise, and they want other people to advertise on your videos. So Google has this, like, financially involved with you if you're on YouTube. If you're on podcast, not as much, okay? So I just want to make that point. Now, how do I actually get clients from YouTube? Okay, so this is the core answer to the question right here, everybody. I'm going to tell it to you straight. It's not simple, but I'm going to make it sound simple, okay? This is the distilled process. HAS, HAS, okay? I want you to remember this acronym. Hook up. You're going to make them want to hook up with you. So how do you create the creative content that will engage? Like Samantha says, make a list of the questions people are always asking you. Two, you want to use Google, okay? You want to use the keyword functions that exist in Google so that people, you can get traffic. If anything, I mean, just search on, go to YouTube and search on, like, for example, retirement questions and see what comes up, right? I mean, retirement of a partner. I don't know what this one exactly is, but retirement questions, must see. Retirement questions explained. I mean, this one only has 664 views because the thumbnail is a little bit, I don't think, the best. And then there's this here, you know, Jazz Wealth Managers, top 401k retirement questions answered, 1.2k views, 24,000 views, the Dave Ramsey show. See what Dave Ramsey is talking about. Don't copy Dave Ramsey, but see what he's talking about, right? And just put a little bit of an engaging twist on it, okay? So give people a reason to hook up. A lot of times in YouTube, the thumbnail is gonna be what's important. This is a great thumbnail right here. For various reasons that I describe in my membership, if you join through my website, you'll see that I explain how to make these thumbnails here. There's certain aspects that this person has done really well in this thumbnail that make it better than, for example, this one right here for retirement questions explained, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. The brain processes visuals, you guys, 60,000 times faster than text, 60,000 times. So we're all going to scan through these and look at the thumbnails, and often that's going to be what makes us click on something or not.
Yeah. So give them a reason to hook up, you know? Don't be direct about what the video is about. I mean, I explain all of this in my membership, but the H factor has to be their action motivation, right? Motivate them to take action. Don't just make one of these videos about, oh, haha, I'm so smart, I'm the expert in this area, you should call me to have a meeting. People, remember, keep in mind, the online buyer is looking for information. They want information first. They want to follow you. They want information. That's why you have to cluster create content. And if you cluster create content, put them all on the same playlist, have the same call to action for every single video, eventually they're going to do that call to action, whether it's download this spreadsheet from my website, join my newsletter. I mean, everybody has a newsletter, right? So people are kind of tired of hearing that. Do a webinar about this. Email me, I'll send you an infographic. Email me for, you know, whatever, right? Whatever the action motivation is, it has to be something other than let's have a meeting, because the information buyer is a little bit skittish. Keep in mind that I feel like information buyers, when people go online, you got to understand something about the online buyer. This is extremely important. Extremely important to understand this. They're skeptical as anything. If they weren't skeptical people, they would just have gone with whoever got referred to them by word of mouth. I mean, we all know someone who's a financial advisor, not to downplay what y'all do, but there's a million of y'all out there. And financial advisors are pretty aggressive about letting people in their circles know what they do and who they are, right? I mean, we all have like that brother-in-law or that friend that went to college with us that now they're in the business, right? There's tons of financial advisors out there, and everybody knows one, or there's one in everybody's circle. Why aren't they doing business with that person already? Because they want something more, or they're skeptical, or they're highly selective. So to a highly selective person, if they're kind of watching your video, that's like them going on a date with you. If you're talking saying, let's get married after one date, right? That's not the right approach with the information buyer, right? So, okay, I see some questions coming on here. The action has to be something a little bit more creative than have a meeting with me, because like I said, that's kind of pushing on them just because they watched your video, right? And then like stalking them. Now this is obviously a joke. Don't really stalk people, okay? I don't want anybody saying, oh, Sarah Griller told me to stalk people. That's just a joke, so I could make a good acronym out of it. But you've got to have a good follow-up strategy, and the follow-up strategy isn't, oh, I'm going to call people up and ask them to have a meeting, okay? Cluster create content. You can make one video a week for 2 minutes long. I'm sorry, but I'm not taking excuses anymore. I used to accept excuses from people. I have 4 children under 5 years old and a business, okay? If I can do this, then you can too, financial advisors. And I'm not taking any more excuses from people saying how busy they are. I understand we're all busy. 2 minutes is not too much to invest in making one video a week. Get them on, you know, the people, get them on your newsletter list, make a category of YouTube leads, whatever, and then push videos towards them, good action motivation, good reason to hook up with you. Eventually this will work, okay? That's the quick summary of how to make this work for you, because I always get the question, how do I get leads from YouTube? If you're not getting them, you're doing something wrong here. There's no reason for them to want to hook up with you. You're provoking them to take the wrong action, or you're not following up with them. Now, here's the other thing. This is a basic truth, what works on Google. I'm going to put in here LinkedIn, Facebook, oh, see, I can't even type. Facebook, Twitter, everything, okay? I'm going to get to the questions in a minute, y'all. I'm so sorry. Just let me say this real quick, and then I'm going to cut out, okay? Stop talking about yourself, okay? People don't want to hear about you, your credentials, your firm, your process. That's what people do sometimes in these videos. They just want to talk about their process or the way that they do things at their firm. People are not interested in that. It comes off as too salesy, okay? Stop talking about yourself if you want other people to listen to you. I'm going to go to questions right now. Sorry, everybody, if I haven't been there yet. Okay. How do you suggest people work through compliance? There's very little advisors can do without pre-approval. Absolutely agree with you. You should not be doing anything without pre-approval, right? Don't get too technical with things. Remember, as much as this is a date for them, this is a date for you too. You don't want to give away the whole thing without having someone really express a strong interest, because you sell your services for a living too, right? You're here to make a buck off them. Just you are, right? So, I mean,
I was just going to say, I would also suggest a lot of the advisors I work with, they will write down like the main points they're going to cover in the video. So here's the question that I'm going to answer. Here's the key points I'm going to cover. And they transcribe it beforehand. They've written it down. They submit that to compliance. Compliance will approve it. And then they record the video. Some compliance officers make them get final approval on what they actually did say. Some don't. Other people do it the other way around. They record the video first. They use a transcribing or transcription service, or they themselves do it if the video is only a couple minutes long, write down everything, and then submit it for approval. If you make yourself do a couple videos, maybe, you know, on Monday morning, you can submit three at a time, and now you have those three videos ready to go to post over the next 3 weeks. So you can do them in batches. That's a good strategy. But transcribing is good anyway. So I tell everybody, search engines cannot crawl your video the way they crawl text on a page. So the only way for them to know what the video is about is for you to tell them. So you have to put those keywords in the headline. And then also it's a really good idea in the summary of the video and in the description to explain what that video is about so that those keywords show up. So it's a good idea to transcribe it anyways for those purposes. But certainly you're going to need to work through with your compliance officer what their process is.
Yeah, exactly. So this is interesting. Someone is saying, I approach compliance. Their response is they have no way of monitoring YouTube. It's true that they don't have any way of monitoring. Well, I mean, but it's not because they can see your channel. See, here's the thing. Okay. A lot of compliance people, this is a blanket statement here, but I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to go to the other question that someone has about not getting their personal information. Just hang on, everybody, okay? I'm coming with the answers. This is an awful statement to make, and it's an awful generalization, but I've seen it to be true, and I'm sorry, but I just have to say it. Compliance people many times are not active on social media themselves. You have to evaluate, does your compliance person really understand social media? Because you may have to educate them. For someone to say there's no way they can monitor YouTube is absolutely incorrect, because if you look here, they can't block people from making comments. They can't put it into their hearsay social or whatever. So they're worried, if somebody makes a comment, how am I going to stop them from making a comment that's a guaranteeing statement? So for example, I make a video about variable annuities. Somebody, I don't say anything bad in my video. It gets compliance approved, but I post it. And then now all of a sudden someone posts up and it's like, yes, I love these. Everyone should buy these variable annuities that are great. It's guaranteed, whatever, right? And it's a wrong statement. Compliance is worried about that. What compliance doesn't understand is what we YouTube experts understand, is that there's a way to block comments on your YouTube videos. You can block anybody from commenting on any of these videos. So there's nothing to monitor because the video won't be commentable, so to speak. All they're going to have is they're going to see the video, they're going to see the title, they're going to see the summary, all of which you determine, so you can control it, right? But the question, how can we leverage YouTube if the videos must be hosted on a company site? You can still make videos and then post them to your LinkedIn. Same thing. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it could actually even be better. You could let's, you can make really specific videos about, oh, I want to target IBM employees. I want to talk about the IBM pension plan, pension or lump sum for IBM, whatever. I don't even know if IBM has a lump sum, whatever, right? Pension or lump sum, IBM retirees, watch this video, okay? You make the video, whatever. Let's say they still say you can't post it on YouTube. You say, adios, YouTube. Take that video, though. Absolutely still use videos. Take that video and then put it onto LinkedIn and then use LinkedIn direct advertising. Now, like I said, this is going to be more expensive. Use LinkedIn direct advertising to get that in front of people who are age 50 and older that work at IBM. I mean, I've seen this work for my clients. Okay. Other question.
And I just want to follow up on that too. If you are posting your videos to LinkedIn or Facebook or any of the other ones, one of the biggest actually mistakes a lot of people make is they will just keep sharing the link from their YouTube channel to social media platforms. But each social media platform wants you to stay in their platform, right? They want to keep you native to their platform because that allows them to show more ads. It makes them more money. So if you upload your video natively to LinkedIn rather than just pasting the link from YouTube,
right, like here,
you'll actually get a boost in how many people see it because LinkedIn will show it more because they see it as being hosted on LinkedIn. So if you record a video on YouTube,
right, like right here, I'm showing YouTube,
People will see it, but LinkedIn will prioritize it and rank it higher if you upload it natively to LinkedIn.
Yeah. See, like this, you upload it almost like an attachment advisors. Like you could click here and upload it like you're attaching a PDF file to an email. You can do that as opposed to what I did today, for example, which was I posted a link like right here, see? It went to YouTube. This is a link here, okay? I directed people away from LinkedIn, which LinkedIn generally doesn't like because that means, like Samantha said, that they can't make as much advertising revenue off of you and everybody else. If you're directing traffic away from their site, they don't like that. Okay, I want to get to this question here. Someone asked me, how do I call them? They watch a video, I don't get their personal information. In the call to action, you should be directing them to your website, or directing them to a landing page, or directing them to your LinkedIn page. That is how you capture the information there. And like I said, remember, HAS, hookup, action, motivation, that's the action motivation, something where you can capture their information. And then after that, then you go to the stalking step. Okay, I mentioned this to compliance. Emily, Nora, you mentioned 2-minute video per week, but how do we realistically feel the up-and-coming timeline is to seeing feedback and the client return?
I can just mention this since this is what I kind of said that I do. So personally, I think with anything you do, think of it as like that exponential factor. You're going to start doing it and at first it won't feel like you're getting anything. And then all of a sudden, it'll just sort of accelerate and quickly you will see all of a sudden a ton of results. I did a webinar last week on Thursday, a month's worth of marketing, how the most successful advisors spend their time. And we looked at 200 advisors and what they were doing. And so many of them said they had been blogging or creating video or doing a podcast, some sort of content creation, at least twice a month. And some of them didn't get their first client from that efforts for 6 to 12 months, right? But then that client could be a $2 million client, and then they get another $2 million client the next month, and it sort of takes off from there. So you need to give it a little bit of time. One of the biggest mistakes I see people do is they get started with this, they start creating these videos, and then they don't get this huge influx of clients after a month, and so they give up. And you can't do that. It does take a little bit of time to build an audience and build a following and get in front of people and start seeing the results from it. But you will see results if you keep at it. I promise you that.
Like, keep in mind that the roadblock, the mental block that people have, you have to understand this about financial advisors. No offense to the profession, but people are very skeptical about working with a financial advisor. They just are. You have to get them to take their guards down. You have to do that. And one or two videos is not going to do that. They need to feel like you're sitting there in their living room with you're sitting there in their living room with them. That's how they have to feel. because the, like I said, the information buyer does not know you. Do not underestimate the, I mean, it sounds like so basic, but then people that want to just do one video a month and have it work out have to, you know, it's like I hear people say that all the time. Well, I made videos. Well, how many videos did you make, right? What were the videos like? How were you in those videos, okay? Everything should be focused on making the person feel comfortable, showing personality, authenticity, and showing them consistency. Okay, I've posted family videos under my personal account. I need to make a new channel for my company. Absolutely. Separate the business one from the personal one and upload the videos to that channel.
Although right. Sarah and I would love to see your chubby baby.
Yeah, I see enough babies. I have four of them. They don't know what they don't know. I'm hoping the blocking comments will help. Yeah. So, I mean, look, if any of you would like me to personally have a conversation with your compliance officer on your behalf, I really would be fine to do that. I want to help. And I know this is a roadblock. You know, the monster in the room, what do they call it? The 800-pound gorilla in the room with compliance is, I'm going to let you in on the secret. I'm going to say it again. They don't know. A lot of them don't know the inner workings of YouTube. I would suggest just if you're getting this objection from compliance, can you just please send me an email? I'll help you with this.
I mean, just to kind of piggyback on this, we've had multiple compliance officers yell at us, our firm, 20 over 10, saying, help us turn off Google reviews for our client. You can't turn off Google reviews. No one can. You can't control them. Anyone can review anybody else on Google. Even if your company doesn't have a true business listing, Google will create one if they know that business is there at that address, and anyone can review it. The key is, as an advisor, you shouldn't be commenting on those comments. So if someone leaves a review, you shouldn't say, thanks for the great review. Or if they leave a negative review, you shouldn't refute it, because then it's kind of going against the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, which, you know, you're promoting the positive or trying to downplay the negative. And that could be constructed as to mess with those reviews. But people are going to have to kind of come around to this, because they're, like, for instance, with Google reviews, there's nothing any of us can do about it. Any advisor can be reviewed on Google, and Google will
give Yelp. Yelp, same thing, right? Yelp.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, some people just don't understand that, as Sarah said.
Yeah, but I mean, say it in a nice way, of course, but just be like, I mean, look, email me, okay, if this you're getting this objection. What's the ideal length for a video? I would just say that it depends on what you want to do with the video. If you really want to get found in Google, I would suggest turning the ad function on so people can advertise on your channel, because Google, I think, is going to like that a little bit better. And then I would make it like 10 to 15 minutes. Now, yeah, I know it's not that easy to make a long video, but understand this. If you really want the video to optimize in YouTube, understand that the longer it is, the more ads YouTube can get in there. And then if anyone clicks, then YouTube makes money off of it. Okay? So a little longer is better. From that perspective, if you want to optimize in the engine. Now, if you just want to make a short video and then you're going to boost it with ads, or you don't really care about it getting, you just want to go for more engagement, then like 3 to 5 minutes. I would say between 5 to 10 minutes, maybe.
And we're talking about YouTube videos, guys. Remember, the videos you share on social media would be shorter.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
If you're making a LinkedIn video where you don't care if it optimizes on LinkedIn or not, yeah, make a 2-minute video. Just answer questions. Hey, you know, how do you download your how do you sign into TurboTax? Whatever. Okay. Fire away. I want more questions here. Everybody, thanks for staying with us, by the way. We're over the allocated time. Can you also block comments on a comment-by-comment basis, or is it all or none? Yeah, if someone posts something, you can get it removed. You can delete the comment from your channel. You can block users as well. Like, I have a fair amount of people that hate me. I mean, I'm just saying it. Like,
that's how you know that you've made it, though.
Right.
You're getting haters. You know you've made it.
That's one of the good, that's a diplomatic way of saying it, Samantha. Yeah. I mean, I have haters everywhere I go, but I have a lot of them on YouTube. But I just can block, you can block the user. So if someone's like harassing you, by the way, you can do that. Do you engage in conversation with the commenters? I absolutely do. Yes, I do all the time. Do comments follow the same rules as reviews? I usually be engaging with them. Yeah, I think compliance is probably going to have an issue. Okay, wow, now a lot of them are coming in. I would say, do they have the same rules as reviews? Probably they do. I think you have to check with compliance about that. I can't imagine compliance being that keen on you having a back and forth conversation on YouTube unless they are monitoring it with like Hearsay Social or something like that. If it's an unmonitored, if they're not tracking it, then I can't imagine them being that game on you doing that. But there's nothing to say that you can't maybe direct or get the person to just, you can maybe contact the person on LinkedIn. Like a lot of times people, when they post on your channel, it means they have their own channel. So you can go to their channel and see who they are and then go to them on LinkedIn and engage with them on LinkedIn through LinkedIn direct messaging, or maybe they have an email address on their channel. There's a lot of information available out there on social media, y'all. You know, there's more than one way to skin the cat here.
But yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is every compliance department is so different. What I see, you know, working with hundreds of these compliance departments is what one will absolutely say is off limits, another one is fine with. So certainly, you know, you want to check before you get started to find out what they'll be cool with.
Yeah. So the ads are 30-second videos that drive them to your longer videos and call to action. No, the ads should be longer. The ads can be long too, actually. What software app do you use to edit and add disclosures to your video? I don't know. What do you recommend, Samantha?
So we don't have to add disclosures to our videos, so I don't use anything currently. I have a couple different clients that will use, if they're like on a Mac already, they'll just use the built-in video editing software that Macs come with. I don't have as many good recommendations for PCs. Most of the people that I see recording a lot of these videos are using, like I mentioned, like Zoom. And so as Sarah's doing right now, you can add in any of the disclosures or anything like in a screen share, like a PowerPoint deck, and just show them at the end of your video, right? Because you're sharing your screen as well as your video camera. So that's a really easy way to do it. If you don't want to deal with editing software, have a slide deck or something ready to go and, you know, have your video camera be shown. And then at the very end, if you put on that slide deck, you can show those disclosures. But there's lots of tools out there. I mean, just Google adding captions to videos and you'll find tons of them. There's a couple companies that are specific to like recording on your mobile device versus if you're recording it on your desktop. So you'll want to have different software depending on what tools you're using. Actually, I think if you go to 20 over 10's blog and you just search video, we have a blog post that goes into some of the different tools.
Yeah. Windows Movie Editor. I actually don't edit my videos. I just had a baby, so I'm in the middle of right now revamping everything, and I'm going to actually probably be editing them in the future. If our methods go against Dave Ramsey, i.e. loving cash value life insurance, if we love cash value life insurance, which he hates, would you recommend advertising on his videos? Absolutely. Yeah, because keep in mind, there's a lot of people that are going to side with Ramsey, but there's a lot of people that are watching it just for information because they want to know. So if you have an opposing viewpoint, yes, I would advertise specifically on those videos. Yes. Is it more expensive to advertise on highly watched channels or content producers? Google does it based upon a number of different factors, but one of them is your tenure or your performance as an advertiser. So if you're getting like people to watch videos, your videos to entirety, that it's really based upon like supply and demand. It's an auction system. So like if a lot of people are trying to advertise on certain, it goes by the topic. So it's not necessarily by the channel. I don't think it's by the topic. Like if I want to search on, if I want to type in like, best financial advisor, if I want to be found on that term in YouTube, and I made a video called I'm the Best Financial Advisor, I would say that's probably going to be a little bit more expensive. It matters how competitive the keyword is, really.
Right. And because remember, if you do a Google search and at the top of the search bar, like if Sarah were to search Best Financial Advisor right now in Google, you have the regular search results, right? But then one of the options at the top, there's like news, images, video. So if you click video, that search you just did in Google, now you can see all the videos related to it too. So you don't act, people don't actually even have to be in YouTube searching to find your video, right? So if you scroll at the top, Sarah, and then see where at the very top, it's like all news, images, videos, right? She clicks on videos and now all these videos are going to show up. Some of them will be on other channels like Guidevine, Investopedia hosted, but then you can see down there, there's a YouTube video. So that's why it's also really keyword based, is because people can find it from regular Google searches, not just YouTube searches. I'm going to have to head out pretty soon because I have to get over to a 12 o'clock meeting. But thank you so much for having me today. And everyone who's already, I saw a bunch of people connect with me on LinkedIn. Again, it's just Samantha C. Russell. And my role here at 20 over 10 is to really work with advisors on their full digital marketing best practices. So if anyone else has questions and would like to know more, certainly connect with me on LinkedIn and I'll be happy to chat with you. Thank you so much, Sarah. And if you haven't already, go to her sarahgrillo.com website, and she has so many great free resources. But like she said, for $35 a month, her course, to get all the specifics that we're not going to get into today, it's so worth it, you guys, to get those tips.
Yeah. Thanks, Samantha. All right, Samantha, thanks for being with us. And everybody, yes. I see there's still 30 of y'all on here. Stay on with me here because I'm going to cover something. So I'm going to show you actually some of the advertising options that you'll have on YouTube. So, for example, let's say that I'm going to show you an in-stream ad. Okay, sorry. Actually, I don't think I can. I probably should not use that video. Let me see here. So, LinkedIn profile. Okay. Let's see. Does she have? Okay, she's not advertising. Okay. Here. This is called the discovery ad. So, simple money management tools with personal capital. So you see personal capital has a video here. When I search on, so they know, YouTube knows that I was just searching on all these like retirement things. So they're putting this advertisement here. You see how smart they are? They know that I just searched on like best financial advisor. So now they're putting personal capital's advertisement right here. So this is called a discovery ad where you can click on it. Now you've maybe seen these videos. I think I showed you some of them. Let me think, who would have an ad on their thing? Maybe this person. I don't know. Okay, yeah. So right here, this yellow dot, this means an ad is about to come up. So I'm going to show you. Okay, so right here, this is called a banner ad. This is called a banner ad, okay? You can also place like a display ad right here, which, you know, it's a little bit more direct than having it over here in the margin, but let me see. Okay, so that was the ad, I guess, that was coming. But anyways, so they have what's called in-stream ads, which means they're those videos that come up, kind of like a commercial that you could skip over. All right, so what else? What other questions does everybody have? So those are the basic type. There's banner ads, display ads, in-stream ads. Don't forget, too, that it's a great idea to collaborate, like kind of like what I just did with Samantha. You know, it's a good idea to have somebody that maybe could be on a video with you. And when they're on the video with you, they're going to share the video with their audience. It's going to go onto their YouTube channel. It's a great way to kind of cross-pollinate, so to speak. It's very underutilized. A lot of times people can, you know, say it's too much trouble or whatever, but I think it's a great way to build your network. It's to have someone actually collaborate on a video with you. So in terms of the Google advertising cost, you're not competing price-wise with Tony Robbins advertising on Dave Ramsey's videos. No, but Tony Robbins, probably because of there's Tony Robbins' stature on Google, he probably already has a pretty good advertising performance history built up. So it's not necessarily the fact that he has, you know, trillions of dollars to invest. It's the fact that he's probably done this very effectively before. And so Google knows him and knows that people, when they watch his videos, they click and they buy and they, you know, they watch the whole video and it's like, there's a lot of good things for Google. So Google's going to probably like him better, no offense, than someone like me. And each of these have different costs. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to get too much into the cost aspect of it. Like if you're that curious about it, let's have a conversation. And you should start, I mean, the best way to figure it out what the ad cost is going to be is to start advertising. But before you advertise on Google, I think everybody should just be very careful because, I think you really don't want to, do this without having a really good strategy for it and making sure you're keyword targeting appropriately and everything, because like I mentioned, you know, you can waste a lot of money. Like, it doesn't sound like it's a lot, 9 cents a click, but I mean, if you're getting, you know, 1,000 views at 9 cents a click and it's the wrong views, like if it's people who aren't in the right country or if it's people who aren't interested in the product, well, how good, I mean, that was just like basically throwing money down the drain, okay? So think about it, right? There's a lot of like kind of technicalities that go into something like this. What other questions do people have? While I have you all here, does anybody have questions about LinkedIn? I'm here on LinkedIn. Any questions on LinkedIn, on your LinkedIn profile? I have a lot of videos about this on my membership. My membership right now is mostly focused on LinkedIn. Might be doing a little bit more with YouTube in the future of it, but a lot of the concepts are the same about engagement. I can tell you that videos do great on LinkedIn, like Samantha was saying, they do rank higher in the algorithm. So what else does anybody else have to say? Any questions about anything that, anything social media related? I'm going to stop talking and I'm just going to pause here for questions. What time frame for the training? How soon will I be able to know how to post? In terms of posting to LinkedIn, I mean, I think 22 videos. As of March 1st, I'll have 22 videos up on my membership. I upload 3 videos a month. How to post something to LinkedIn. I mean, one of the videos for this month is how to create graphics. There's videos about how to make your own blog. I mean, it really wouldn't, all the videos are there. Like if you bought into my membership, if you paid the $35, you could watch the videos and like, you could figure out how to post probably within like a day. You know, you might have to email me for questions. I mean, I do answer people's questions that are my members, you know, in a reasonable way, of course. But if you have questions about it, I can help you with it too. But it really wouldn't take long to learn how to post onto LinkedIn, which is a great thing. What else do people want to know about? I'm going to stop talking again. We have 5 more minutes left on the webinar, everybody. Thanks for all being here. I hope that this has been helpful. Has this been helpful? Let me know. Has this been helpful, everybody? Is this helpful? Very much so. Thank you. You're welcome. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I really would love for all of you to visit my website. If you're not down with the membership, like I said, it probably is one of the best values out there, but even if you're not down with it, I'd love you to just maybe follow my blog or my podcast. You know, I mean, the free information is, there's a lot of free information I give out. A lot of it's less focused on tactics though and specifics, and it's going to be a little bit more focused on the higher level kinds of themes. You know, for you to really like go forward and do something, I do feel like you do need to know the specific steps of how exactly to do things. It's one thing to know like YouTube is great, or, you know, I have opinions about Amazon and how Amazon is like the next financial services giant, right? Like all of these things are very high level, but when it comes time to do it, you know, we all have just a certain amount of time in life. And it's like, do you really want to be the one to have to sit there and spend time figuring out how to post something to YouTube or how to post something to LinkedIn? Do you really want to be the person to, do you really want to spend time doing that when, you know, you have someone that already knows and already has it figured out and is going to present it in a certain way? So, you know, but I love to connect with everybody. I understand the people sometimes want to see, like, for themselves, you know, what the, you know, they want to see really what I'm about and maybe might not know me or know the value of all of the content that I put out. So I understand that too. So I'm glad to connect with anybody on LinkedIn. I'm right here on LinkedIn. You see, here's my profile. LinkedIn profile is one of the things that we cover in my LinkedIn portal. So you can see here, you know, I hope you'll all connect with me and at least be connected on LinkedIn. And if not, be, you know, hooked up through my website with my newsletter. What other questions, y'all? Go ahead, type them in. You can also email me directly after the webinar is over. But I'd love for you to ask me now. Two more minutes, y'all. So who's actually going to do this? I want to know. Is anybody actually going to take action today based upon what I've put out there? Yep. Okay, good. Good. What do you think? Would it be more like, do you think you're going to just make native videos and try to get them? I'll be one of those ask you for help with compliance. Ha ha, cool. excuse me, sorry. You know, I get sick all the time. I have all these kids. Who, like, do you see yourselves taking more action in terms of getting videos on there natively, or are you actually, do you think, going to try to advertise and boost them and get views on them? So I will tell you, I have one video that did really well. Did I post it today? Yeah, okay. So for example, one of my videos here, how do financial advisors find clients? This, I made this video, how do you create ads? That's a whole thing. We're coming to the end here. Why don't we be in touch over email about this? Sorry to have to deflect here, but we only have 1 minute. That's a loaded question. Basically, how do you create ads in YouTube? You make a video, you put it on YouTube, and then you boost it through Google Ads. You have to set up a Google Ads account. Now, that's free to do, but like I said, you can really waste a lot of money because you could potentially just really like put the video in front of the wrong person. So that, you know, I would be very careful, like I said. Anyways, this video here, I made this video and I went and I put it up there on YouTube and it did okay, but then I boosted it and now it's gaining like much more quickly because I got 1,000 views on it. And then I think because it's a more popular video, now I'm not advertising anymore, but I'm seeing, sorry everybody, I'm a little congested. I'm seeing that people are actually watching it more and it's gaining more popularity because I think it's ranking higher up in the search engines. So anyways, I'm going to conclude the webinar here, but thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it. I love the questions and I am so grateful for everybody having these questions and being brave enough to ask them. Would love for any of you to contact me through LinkedIn and, you know, like I said, join the mailing list at least, but also would love to have you be members also. You know, I have a great product. I do a great service. I have a lot to offer people and I just really hope that I'll see you there. SarahGrillo.com. Just click the blue button at the top. All right. I'm going to end the share now and end the video, but thanks everybody. And I hope that you'll tune in for the next time. Bye now.